Right now in my life, there's been times where I feel very normal, and there's been other times where I feel, I think Jeff Lucas said it weeks ago, but just a wild man, just rising up inside of me. And sometimes I don't even recognize who that is. I do because it's stuff I wanted to do all my life and was afraid to do. And all of a sudden, I see it coming out of me, and I'm like, who is this? And sometimes it scares me, but it also is very fun and exciting. And that's where I'm at in life right now. There's different times and just different things I'm doing, I'm finding myself doing. I'm like, that's who I've wanted to be all my life. And it's taken forever for it to come out. And so right now I'm trembling because I'm not afraid of being here with you guys. It's just, my body is weak, okay? And it's not from weak from the last 2 days of us working like mad. It's not that, okay? My body is used to that. This is one of these, I think Tiffany said, just that pressure. And I feel it on me right now. So just bear with me, okay? And if you ever heard me speak before, I'm not an eloquent speaker at all. So please don't have any expectations of what you're going to hear because that's not me, okay? I'm just going to say what God gives me, and that's just the way it is. So if I'm silent, I'm silent, and I'm good with that, okay? If, hope you guys are. I got to say that if you know me, and I know Kevin and I have talked about this, I am not a church guy. I do much better functioning outside of here. And this is more of a formality for me a lot of times in my life, but it is no longer. I have an excitement each and every week I come for what's God gonna do next. And it just keeps on building and building and building and building and building. I am just blown away right now with the things that God's doing in my own life, the things that God's doing in Kevin's life, the things that God's doing in your lives, and just getting to be a part of that. And this has always been my heart's desire because, you know, I've always been one. I grew up seeing a lot of stuff called church and called religion. And I was always like, I can't do that. I can't fake doing something if it's not real. I was like, it has to be real. And I've seen little different things in my life where it's been real. This is, I gotta say, this is the first time in my life where like it's just real, real. Okay? I don't know how else to say it, you know what I'm saying? But I can't even put words to it. I can't even put a definition on it. It's just I know that I know that I know that I know that I know. It's right and it's real. And it's just got God written everywhere on it. It scares me, but I love it. I just can't describe it. You know, when Kevin texted me Monday morning and said, do you want to speak? Usually I'm like, you know, I usually know pretty quickly. I'm like, God, and I've always had this thing on my, you know, with me and God. I'm like, God, you know, I don't look for this stuff. I don't want it. But when you want me to do it, I'll do it. And almost every time when it happens, there's either something on my heart beforehand that's just kind of waiting to come out, or like as soon as I'm given the opportunity, it just comes out. Monday morning when you texted, I was like, yes. And shortly afterwards, you know, even when I texted, I was like, I don't know why I'm gonna say it, but like shortly afterwards, I mean, like it wasn't one of those things where I went and prayed. God just started like bam and just started giving me stuff. And throughout the week it's been this ongoing just thing. And then Friday morning it just started, it gave me some verses, and then this morning I woke up and I wasn't in the house very long. I didn't do my normal routine, but I was outside wearing holes in the grass because that's how me and God work. And I can't sit still and do something. I have to like be moving. And so it's just been this thing that God's just been pouring into me all week long. And it's even been before that, but and so I'm getting there, okay? I feel like God has given us something here. It's been a gift. I just keep on wanting to give it away. And that's what I want to talk about this morning is just what he's giving us and giving it away. And, you know, I was thinking about it. And, you know, I think, Amy, I think you and the boys gave me this Leatherman. It's been a while ago. I can't remember how long ago. And I had received one before, and I was one time in Venezuela. And my old Leatherman had been all over the place. Venezuela, Israel, Guyana, Mexico. I mean, it'd been all over the place with me. And there was one time in Guyana, I was out in the jungle or in the bush, and there was this pastor I got to pray for. And you know, my Leathermans are very, it's a cherished tool of mine that I have, if you know me. And so it, you know, it's usually on me. And God told me to give it away. And I was like in the middle of this trip. I'm like, man, I'm going to need that thing. I was like, I do everything with it. I was like, if a car breaks down, I get my Leatherman out. You know, I'm MacGyver with, I feel like that's my MacGyver tool. You know, I can fix anything. And God was like, give him that. And I had some stuff to say to him with that tool about some stuff in his life. And I came home. I was like, man, I gave my Leatherman away. And then I think shortly afterwards, you know, the boys and Amy got me one for Christmas or my birthday. I can't remember the details, but. And I have two of them. I have one that stays in my work car that I use for because it gets in chemicals and it gets nasty and gets ruined. But I have my one I really love. And that's the one that the boys and Amy gave me. And I had another story prepared, but when I was walking out the door this morning, I grabbed my leather and guy was like, talk about your leather. I was like, okay, that's cool. That fits. And so... Yeah, let me explain. Okay, a Leatherman is it's a knife, but it has pliers. It has a knife. It has screwdrivers. It has picks. It even has stuff to like put holes in leather. It has a little saw. It has a Phillips head. It has a scissors. It has a bottle opener. It has a file. I mean, you can do all kinds of stuff with this thing, and I do. I fixed a lot of stuff with this tool, but. You know, here around, you know, it just happens to be Christmas too. But, you know, I received this gift, and the people who gave it to me out of love because they knew I wanted one. And, you know, I could have taken that Leatherman and hid it away and said, this is a very special gift. Almost like, you know, every guy's ever seen Lord of the Rings where he has the ring and he keeps it to himself and he like hides it, doesn't want anybody to touch it. You know, I could have done that with my Leatherman or like one of those old Star Wars toys where, you know, you see these Millennium Falcons on eBay for like thousands of dollars, new in box, never opened from 1977 or 78. You know, it's like, what good was that? Yeah, it's worth tons of money because it's still in the box and in the plastic, but the kid never got enjoyment out of that thing. And my Leatherman's the same way. If I would have kept it in its box and its paper and just looked at it, I was like, wow, that's a cool Leatherman. What good would it have been? You know, it had some value to me that way, but it's useless. It wasn't used for what was designed to be used for. But, you know, this tool I've taken out of the box and, you know, I've broken this one. I've had to send it in and they've had to repair it. And you have to send this little slip in with it saying, you know, I want this one back. I have another one when I send it in, they gave me a new one because I wear it out. And I'm like, I don't care. It's just an old work tool and just give me another one. But this one here is like, when I send it in, I want this knife back again because it means something special to me. But it's meant to be used. And these gifts that God has given us lately is not meant for something that we just take and we hold when we're like, God gave me something. And we go and stash it away and hide it. This is meant for something beyond us. Yes, it was a gift to us and he entrusted it with us. But it's meant to be given away and just keep on giving and giving and giving and giving and giving it away. And there's some principles here. You know, sometimes when you read Bible verses, it you know, there's always the context of what it means, but there's also there's a lot of times there's a principle that God kind of will run throughout the whole Bible with some of those verses. So I apologize if some of these aren't in the exact context because I don't have time to read the whole, you know, and I'll be honest, I'm not a very good orator or I don't read very well out loud. I can read all day long to myself, but you know, when I have to read in front of people, it's just like, I just stumble over myself. So if you want to turn to 1 Corinthians 12, 31. Sorry, I should have marked my Bible where it was at. 1 Corinthians 12, 31 says, but earnestly desire the greater gifts. You know, what's been going on here? Like God has just been pouring himself out. God wants us to desire him. And to desire the things that he's pouring out, not just for ourselves, but that we might give it away. But, you know, and later on, go through and read Corinthians, because it's talking about, and even Acts is talking about God just pouring himself out and all this stuff that he wants to give us and gifts that he wants to give us. And I know I myself, I want that stuff. It's been a monthly thing where doing this stuff. And yesterday and Friday, we did this stuff. I enjoy doing that stuff, but I really enjoy doing the Holy Spirit stuff. And a lot of times that's mixed with the other stuff. But, you know, we can wear ourselves out just doing stuff, just good stuff. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. But yet I desire the God stuff. the stuff that in and of myself, I couldn't do that. You know what I'm saying? Like when I start praying for somebody and God starts giving me something to say to them, I can't do that. Okay. That's not Chris. That's God. I can go fill boxes all day long. Okay. I do physical work. That's what I do. I mean, that doesn't require much of me to do that. I can work a 12-hour shift. It doesn't bother me. But the God stuff, I know that that's something that he's doing through me, and it's him. I'm just being obedient and allowing him to use me. And so, you know, I want us to earnestly desire the greater gifts and not just be, it might sound wrong, but not just be content with where we're at, but to desire more of him and more and more and more of him. And you know, there's also a verse in Matthew 7:7. I'm sorry I don't have slides and all that, but I feel like I'm boxed in when I got slides on the thing and you got it light. And I'm like, I got to use those slides because somebody prepared them. And it says, ask and you shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and will be open to you. For anyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks it shall be open. For what man is there among you, when his son asks him for a loaf, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him not? He will not give him a serpent, will he? If then, you being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask him? Going back to the earnestly desire of the gifts, you know, God wants us to ask for those things. And I think, like, I know in my heart there's some things that I am desiring, and I'm asking God for those things. And it's not for me. It's not that so Chris Bender can do this. It's because I want to see God pour it out on somebody else and give them something that they can, when they walk away, they're like, God just met with me. That was a God thing that just happened to me, where it's undeniable. And I am deeply desiring that right now. God's been rearranging my life lately, where, and Kevin's even talked about this, where like he's getting me alone and like messing up my work schedule. And I'm self-employed, so yes, it is a little bit easier for me to get messed up sometimes. But even sometimes when I do my contract work, God is doing some stuff in me. And I'm like, God, I gotta work. I was like, I'm on the clock right now. But he's doing it in spite of that and through that. There's also another verse in Matthew 25. It starts in 14. It says, for it is just like a man about to go on a journey who called his own slaves, which means also it's just another word for servants, and entrusted his possessions to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, and to another 1, each according to his own ability, and he went on his journey. And where it says talents there, that was actually a form of money. You know, we don't need to go into all the detail of what it meant, and you know, but it was a form of money. And immediately the one who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and gained 5 more talents. In the same manner, the one who received 2 talents gained 2 more. And he who received the 1 talent went away and dug it in the ground and hid his master's money. Now, after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And the one who had received the talents, who received the 5 talents, came up and brought 5 more talents, saying, Master, you entrusted 5 talents to me, and see, I have gained 5 more talents. His master said to him, well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a very few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. And the one who had received the 2 talents came and said, Master, you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I have gained 2 more talents. And his master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. And the one who had received the 1 talent came and said to his master, I knew you were a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. And I was afraid and went away and hid your talent in the ground. See, you have what is yours. But his master answered and said to him, you wicked, lazy slave. You knew that I would reap where I did not sow and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have put my money in the bank, and on my arrival I would have received my money back with interest. Therefore, take away the talent from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. And there's a principle there. You were faithful with a few things, but now I'll put you in charge of many things. God is entrusting us with something, and it's a very special gift. And just like my Leatherman, you know, I could take that thing that very meant something very special to me. I could go hide it away and keep it in this box, and it would be a new in the box, never opened from 1995 or when it was made. You know, it has value to me, but it does nobody any good. But we can take that thing that God has given us and start using it and letting it multiply. And then God does this really cool thing with stuff like that. And when he sees you do that, he's like, you know, I entrusted them with a little bit. Now I'm going to give them some more. Just like you said, he's expanding the vessel. You thought you were already full, but he's giving you more. He's just bursting it open. And I really believe this thing that is going on with us right now here at Ember is an equipping. And it's something that God is preparing us for. And it's for Chester, but it's also for everywhere we go. You know, because, you know, how many of you guys work outside of Chester? You commute somewhere else. You don't. I'm that way. Sometimes I'm here. Sometimes I'm in Virginia. I mean, I went to New York 2 months ago. I mean, I'm all over the place sometimes. And, you know, God is wanting us to be faithful with those things he's given us and to use them, and not just to hide them away and keep them safe, but they're to be given away. And, you know, what I think is cool is a lot of times God will, he knows where we're at, and he knows who you are. And like I said, sometimes I don't know who I am anymore, but I do, because it's like, that's truly who I am. And I remember you said it yesterday, Kim, or it was Friday night. You were like, I used to think Chris was like this, but I'm starting to see this person I didn't know. I used to hide it. Like, my boys will always be like, yeah, Dad's like this at home, but you won't ever see it. And they always used to try to catch me on camera trying to do something. Like, no, I'm too smart for that. You ain't gonna see that. But I'm finding myself beginning to be that way around other people. But it's truly who I am. And it's who God made me to be. And I used to be afraid of that. So I tried to always put on this certain, I just didn't let people know who I really was. But yet it was always screaming to get out. And now God is starting to unleash it out of me. And I'm just ecstatic, because I'm like, it's cool. But I know in my own life, there's been a lot of things that have been happening lately. And, you know, I was a missionary for, I don't know how many years, Amy, was it 5 or 6 or something like that? You know, I had the term missionary beside my name. You know, I was sent out and went to missionary training school, went to a year of seminary and all this different stuff. And then we'd go on outreaches and then we'd lead outreaches. And, you know, that YWAM team that's coming here, that's what my wife and I did for years. We toured around the United States or went to different countries and took groups of young people and taught them how to minister. And, you know, even as a missionary, sometimes you felt like this obligation, like, I got to go talk to somebody. And it was a lot of times, it was very just, I was never this guy to go, you know, a lot of pastors, you get to the church, like, let's go door to door. I'm like, that don't do anything for me. And I'm not the guy for that job. Yes, I'll do it. But that is not me. And then there'd be these other times where, like, I just run into somebody on the street. It was always like I was at McDonald's or Wendy's, and I just see somebody sitting there. I was like, God was like, go talk to them now. I'm like, no, I don't know that person. I don't want to do that. And I'll be honest with you, a lot of times I was afraid to do it, and I didn't do it. And there was other times I did, and God just, boom, just showed up. But something I've been learning lately, just within the last few months, it has been happening more and more to me. At first, I was a little, you know, I was like, I don't want to do this. You know, in church, it's one thing to pray for somebody, but out in the street where you don't know the guy from Jack and he don't know you, and you walk up to him and start saying something to him, that's just an odd thing sometimes. But, you know, with that, God kind of will ease you into it and kind of break the ground for you. And he knows where you're at. And every time you do it, you get stretched a little bit farther. And then all of a sudden, you're doing things that you thought you would never do. And that's becomes very easy. But there's other situations where you get into it, and it just stretches just a little bit farther. And it just keeps on pushing that envelope. Oh, and then, like I said, I'm at a place now where I'm like, sometimes I don't recognize who I am anymore, even though I do, because it's truly who I am. And so even, I think it was Wednesday, I saw a lot of parts on Craigslist. car parts off these old cars and stuff like that. And this has been this guy that's been emailing and texting me about these old car parts. And he was up in Charlotte somewhere, and he was like, "I'm not coming to Chester." I was like, "Well, you're not getting the parts." Jeff and I have had this conversation before, about meeting people in parking lots with money, and you're like, "Okay, are they gonna try to mug me, or what's going on here?" And that's something I do sometimes, but I was like, "Well, I'll see what happens." And it just so happened, I happened to be at this near the area where the guy was from. So on Wednesday, I call him in the morning. I was like, "Hey, I'm gonna be in the Matthews area in Charlotte." I said, "I got the parts in the trunk. So if you want to meet me in the Walmart parking lot, I'll be there at 11 o'clock." He's like, "Okay, I'm on my way." And I didn't know who I was meeting or anything. And I get there, and I see the guy pull in, and I call him. I'm like, "Hey, I'm parked right here." He's like, "Yeah, I know. I had to go take care of something first." I'm like, "Uh-oh, this is not usually the way you want this to go. It's like you want him to come right to you." And I was like, "Okay, what's going on with this situation?" It ends up being this young guy. Rodney, he looked like he just came from Infinity's End, which, if anybody knows, it's called a head shop, where you buy drug paraphernalia. I mean, that's the kind of guy I was meeting here. Long hair. I mean, he had his gauges, about this big in his ears, earrings in his cheeks, and he was probably leaking water every time he drank water. Nice guy, but just his appearance, it was just he wasn't your typical white collar guy that sometimes I meet. So he gets out, I start talking to him, and he wants to check the parts out. We're doing that. He's got his trunk open. I got the stuff in his trunk. He's looking at everything, and we do the transaction and all that. And I'm starting to leave, and God's like, "Go pray for him now." I'm like, "God, he don't know me from Jack." And I go to open my car door, and I'm like, "Nope, I'm gonna go pray for him." So I walk back over to him, and I was like, "Dude," I said, "do you mind if I pray for you?" And he looked at me. He's like, he stepped back for a second. He looked at me. He's like, "I've never heard anybody say that before in my life." He said, "People don't do that." He said, "People don't ask to pray for people." He said, "But," he said, "I'm open to that." He said, "Well, I think I'm open to that." And he just had this real dumb, like deer in the headlights look, like, "What just happened?" And I said, "God wouldn't let me leave." I said, "There's something about you that God wants to do in your life." And he was like, "Okay." And then when I pray for somebody, I don't do the whole close my eyes, and immediately he just was like this. And I could tell he was not churched, I mean, at all, but I think that's what he thought he was supposed to do when somebody prays. And I put my hand on him, and God just started telling me some stuff to pray over him. And I did, and he got that look in his eyes again, like, "What is going on here?" And then we stopped, and we talked a little bit more. And he has my phone number. I was like, "Man," I said, "if you have any questions," I said, "call me or text me." I said, but I just felt like God was just gonna show him who he was. And it wasn't one of those things where I was going to pray John 3:16 with him. Like, that was not even on the radar with where I was at with him and God. God just wanted to show him that he was real, and that there was a God of the universe, and that he was after this man. His name was Chris. Yeah. Go figure. And so I got back in the car, and I started driving out of the parking lot. And the Walmart parking lot there on Providence of 51, it's busy. And halfway out of the parking lot, God's like, "Turn around, go give him his money back." I'm like, "God," I was like, "I don't care about the money, but that's another 5 minutes of me getting back through traffic trying to get back to him." I was like, "I just left." And I was like, "Okay, I'll do it." So I went back around, circled back around. He was still messing with the parts in his trunk. And I came up behind him. I was like, "Chris," I said, "here's your money." He's like, "You're not allowed to do that." I was like, "You can't tell me I can't do that. Here you go." And he just got this look like, "What is going on?" And I was like, "This is a gift from God." And I could tell he was just like blown out of the water. And on my end, it was a scary thing for me to do, because he didn't know me, I didn't know him. And you always run into that thing of, what are they gonna say to me when I say this? But every time, honestly, when God has led me to do that, it's like he's already prepared the way. And so as soon as you take that step of faith, I mean, and you're jumping out there. I mean, like I said, weeks ago about jumping out of the airplane, I mean, you feel like you're jumping out of the airplane. You don't know where it's going. And that's how those situations are. But it's like God's already been working on him. But I was the next step in his life. And I honestly can't say I can ever remember a time in my life where God's led me to do something like that, where I do it and that person looks at you like, and they're just like, get away from me. There's been a few times in my life where I've even had to do that with, like, Billy, the only thing I can think of is your buddy, there at the biker club, the one that's all, I can't remember his name, right? Thirsty. He's just hard, like, and you'd be like, man, he's gonna kill me if I talk to him. I've had instances where God even led me to talk to people like that, and it's like they instantly soften up. But it's something that if I never gave that away, I would never know what the gift is. And it's, as I give that gift away, I see the thing that God is giving more and more and more and more and more. And so I want to be a man that God can look down from and say, I need somebody to go minister to this man that people normally wouldn't talk to. And I'm gonna need have him buy a part from you off of Craigslist. And I'm thankful that God entrusted me with that. And it was only a 5-minute conversation I had with that man, but yet God entrusted me with that. I'm blown away that he would entrust me with it, but I'm also grateful that I was obedient to him and was able to do that with God, that I was able to give it away. And there's been stuff like that happening in my life a lot lately. But it's something that we have to give away. And like I said, it's easier to give it away when it's in church because everybody's kind of prepared for that and it's safe. But when we go out of the doors of here, that's when it's reality because you're like, I am stepping out here. And I don't know where this thing is going or what they're going to say to me. But then you see God just start moving and he just blows it out of the water. And I am just loving that. I am excited about doing this stuff. And to me, that's the stuff is just that cool God stuff that we get to do that he's like, go do this now. And I'll be honest with you, there's some days I miss it. There was a day a couple of weeks ago. You know what? There's always good in hearing the good stories, but sometimes we need to hear some of the failures. Okay? So I'm going to tell you one of my failures. Okay? It's a little embarrassing. Okay? But I just got back from a trip from Virginia. And even on that trip on the way home, I had this cool God encounter with this lady. Her car broke down, and I fixed the car with my Leatherman and got to pray for her and all this cool stuff. Well, we get back from Virginia. I usually work like 30 hours, like bam, in 2 days. Me and my one guy I do contract work, we just work like crazy and come home and then feel like you've been in a lock-in when you get back. And I just pulled out of the shop area. I was going down this road, and there's never anybody like walking on this one street. And I see this guy walking, got a backpack on, a small backpack. You could tell he wasn't looked a little rough around the edges. And he made eye contact with me. And I was like, God, I'm too tired. I was like, I just want to go home. And I was like, and he was on the other side of the street. It was real busy. And I felt like God was just telling me to give him a ride. But I was like, God, I can't even get over there. And I was like, I don't, you know, I was like, and I started just making, and like I said, I'm just being honest with you. I started making excuses about why I couldn't do it. And that's a failure story of mine. I hate even talking about that, but that happens. But on the way home, I started just praying for the man. I was like, God, where? I said, send somebody else. I said, I messed up. Send somebody else. And I was just, the whole way home, I was interceding for him. On the way home, God was like, I got it. You're cool. And I was like, okay, thank you. But I know I messed up and I repented. And I was like, Amy, even when I got home, Amy was like, what happened? I told her, I was like, man, I had this really cool thing that happened and I had this thing where I failed. But in my life, I find myself where it's more and more, I have less of the times where I don't do it than the times I do it. And I know as I'm being obedient more and more and more, the easier it gets. And so I want to be a faithful steward of that gift that God has given me and placed in me. And I just want to continue just to give it away because I want him to be able to look at me and say, well done, good and faithful servant. And that's how I want him to look at you. And then I want him to be able to give you more because he knew that he could, what he entrusted you with, you were able to handle. And then he gave you more. I want to say one last thing before I transition. But this is in the late 90s. I had an opportunity to go to Israel on a missions trip. You're not supposed to do missionary work in Israel. It's against the law. But I came in under a some kind of special visa where you, it's like a tourist visa. So we went around and saw some tourist sites, but we're actually, I got to spend some really cool time in people's homes, and I got in a lot of trouble over there because I was talking to people I wasn't supposed to talk to. And because when you do missionary work over there, you can go to jail for it. But anyways, I was over there, and I remember seeing the Jordan River. And yes, I got baptized in the Jordan River just because, I was there. I was like, oh, I can't pass this up. You got to do it. And it was one of those Holy Spirit baptism things, with me and some friends, and it was a cool thing. And this river is like full of fish, and like Lake Galilee is just this beautiful like green area. I mean, it's in the middle of the desert, but this is just this, like there's just life everywhere around it. And then, we went from the Jordan River, and you follow it down. And then I remember one day going to the Dead Sea. And here's a Jordan River that's got all this life going around it, and it dumps into the Dead Sea and has no outlet. So everything around it, I mean, it's dead. I mean, it's just salt all around it, and there's nothing that lives there. And the water is just kind of, it's different. I mean, you get in it just because you want to get in it because everybody goes in it. And it was not pleasant. I mean, you get even just a drop in your eyes or you have a cut. I mean, it burns like crazy because just there's so much salt in it. It's because it's been, all that water is just flowing and flowing and flowing and flowing from the mountains and everything. And it all ends up in the Dead Sea. And because it has no way to get out, it's dead and there's no life there. And so, God has designed us that what he pours into us is not meant to just be kept for ourselves and just dammed up and create something around it to stop it, that we might hold that special gift in our hand but never give it away. It's meant that it just keeps on going. And just as it pours in, we pour it back out again. And there was something that God had me write down this morning. And I was writing this like this because it was wet outside and I had a pen and I had a piece of paper. And so hopefully I wrote it down correctly. I just want this to be some application today. And I'm not going to ask for people to come up front and pray for other people right now, but if somebody comes up, I want us just to be obedient. And if God tells you to go pray for them, be very obedient. And I don't want us just to pray prayers of, have you ever had anybody pray for you? And it's just like that bless your heart prayer, like just I hope you're doing okay. I don't know what to say to you. I want God prayers. And so and this is what God laid on my heart this morning. Is that God wants to consume us to the point that we forget who we are and who we used to be. Because, there in my own life, there's times where you're like, you look at yourself and you're like, I'm not worthy. But you know what? God's saying, I want to use you anyways. I just want you to be obedient to me. And a lot of times in my own life, the stuff you can take a problem and focus on it so much. That problem will consume you. And next thing you know, you're all wrapped up in that problem and you're in this cycle where you can't get out. And all you're seeing is your problem. And God's saying, I want to consume you with me. And next thing you know, that problem takes care of, just like we were talking about, those things begin to take care of themselves. And God starts teaching us and discipling us. And God wants us to break us out of where we are and who we are. And he's saying the time is now. And there was a man I was talking to last week. And when I was talking to him, I just saw this guy on the, like I said, myself. I was seeing myself because I was always afraid of who I really was, but on the inside, I was screaming, let me out, let me out, let me out. And I know there's many of us, that there's men and women of God on the inside of us, but we're screaming, let us out, but we're afraid to be let out. And like I said, sometimes I feel like a wild man. I don't know why I take my shoes off anymore. I don't know why, okay? Sometimes he tells me to do it, sometimes he doesn't, but I'm like, I'm going crazy. But he told me to take my shoes off this morning, and so I did. I haven't cut my toenails or nothing. But I'm just feeling this. Sometimes God just, he's like, it's time to be crazy, Chris. And I'm beginning to be okay with that, to let people see that other guy that I really am. And God's just saying it's time. It's time. And he wants to give you a gift, and it's God's Christmas gift. And let him show you the gift that he has for you. Your true self, and he desires to give it now because now is the time. He wants to give it. He wants to give it away. And some of you might say, there's things in my heart that I have desired all my life to do. And God is saying, now is the time. It's time to do it. It's time to give it away. And there are many of you that I look out from here right now. And Jonathan, I hope you don't mind. I hope I don't embarrass you, man. There is ministry all over your family. And God is doing some really good stuff in you guys right now. And it's time to give it away. The time is now. And it's just all over you, man. I just love that smile on your face, man. Because God's just doing cool stuff in you. That's happening with all of us. And it's time to be who God has created us to be. And not just, I'm not just talking about personality traits of I'm this or I'm that. But God is saying, this is who you really are. And God wants to unleash it on you. Where you can't, like myself, you can't contain it anymore. It's just coming out everywhere you go. Where you want to go from here, Kevin?
The word I get is risk. Sometimes you just have to take a risk. And so this may require you to do that. Why don't we just ask the Holy Spirit to come and then just let Him do His thing.
If you are listening to this sermon series and would like to have someone pray for you, or you'd like to ask some questions, or you just need someone to talk to, please feel free to give us a call at 803-581-2070. Thank you.